888-550-9105. You can give us a call. Hot talk. Tonight, we are talking about black excellence, period. And we left on the other side. In the studio tonight with us, I will introduce again all of us. Christine, where are you going, Joe? I would love to. So, Novell Allen does an event. What is the name of the event, Novell?
It's Novell Music Showcase at the Cabaret South Beach.
And it is July
20th.
And
8 p.m. to 11 p.m.
And Christine, you'll be performing?
Yes.
So now, are you local? Tell us a little bit about you. Where are you from? Where did you get that amazing, amazing voice?
Huh. From God, but
amen.
I'm from Miami, Florida. I was born and raised here.
Shut
right off
out.
Of like 86th Street, Northwest 22nd Avenue. I don't know what you call that. West Little
what
River.
Is that? Is that West Little River?
West Little River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went to school here. Then I went away for college and my master's degree. I'm currently at the University of Miami getting my doctorate in music.
So, I love it.
Thank you.
So, well, do you plan to teach?
I plan on teaching and performing. I just released a CD called
Did you
By
bring
Faith.
It?
I have it with me.
Yes.
Several copies. I
yes.
can get you one.
Please make it happen.
There are hymns and Negro spirituals on there. Some arrangements I did with some friends from school. So
I love
really
it.
Really nice.
Thank you so much for coming. I so appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, indeed. So you're going to stay and hang out.
Yeah.
For a while. Thank you so much. Okay, so, and where can people reach out to you or hear more music from you?
Oh, yeah. They can go to www.christinejopson.com. They can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Christine Jopson.
J-O-B. Oh, J-O-B-S-O-N.
Mm-hmm, J-O-B-S-O-N.
Beautiful.
Thank you,
Diva. And we are back with our guest and joining us, Miss Ernisha Randolph. She of Juanita's Catering. She of Sweet Butter. She of, wait, you have another catering. What's the other one? What's the other one? NJ? Yeah, with initials.
JK Catering.
JK.
Juanita's Kitchen. It's the same company.
The Candy Girl. Where are the Candy Girls tonight?
Oh, the Candy Girls.
Hey, Candy Girls.
But that's really my sister's brand.
I know.
I just co-founded it, yes.
So where are they tonight?
The Candy Girls is probably somewhere singing or something.
They were. Oh, right. And so are they the Candy Girls behind A. Randolph? Have you all?
Yes. Okay. So, okay. You know, they already joke about me, Jill.
Right.
They say we work like Jamaicans.
Yeah, well.
But
you know,
yeah,
we could all.
That is Sarah from the Candy Girls who sings with A. Randolph.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, the business, move the mic up a little bit to you. I think the business that you all have created is one to admire and take a page out of. Headliners is the same thing. It is one to really admire and take a page out of, because your grandmother,
yes,
who I love dearly, who was the first one, the first time I ever had Juanita's Catering was at Jazz in the Gardens, maybe
yes.
2 or 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And I walked in the VIP tent, and it was just pimped like I would have done it. And I was like,
it was probably
well,
P&G.
Who did this? And so they told me that it was, you know, it was J&K Catering, I think, at the time, and I hunted your grandmother down. I was like, this is, I just... I'm so, this is beautiful. It just, you know, because I love to entertain and I just love to see people, you know, take the whole gamut of entertaining to task. There was not a styrofoam cup in that room. Do you hear me? It's a beautiful thing. And so JK was her business. Well, and then you, tell me how the lineage happened.
So, with Juanita's Kitchen, JK, right. Same company, my grandmother is Juanita.
Right.
And she retired my family went through a really horrible time period where her mom, my great-grandmother, and my mom passed 1 month apart. And my grandmother was, at that time, taking care of the both of them. My mom had cancer, and her mom was just really old. And she went through one of those identity crises. Like, you know, who am I? I've been taking care of everybody for so long. I'm just going to retire, pack my stuff. I don't know where I'm going, so don't ask. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Lord have mercy. What we going to do without a mama and a grandma?
Right.
So she had been catering for a while. You know, the whole family, we've been working with her for free catering for this person in the church and that person here and anyone who asked her to cook. That's just what she did. She's always loved it. And, you know, we played around with the idea of her starting the catering company. And she's like, yep, that's just what I like to do, but I'm not working for the rest of my life, so you can go ahead and I'll help you as long as you need me to. A few years later, actually about 8 years later now, she's still working in that kitchen.
I know. I saw her at the Sweet Butter press event.
Yes.
We had time to sit down and chat.
Yeah. She's still working in the kitchen, and everyone requests her food.
Yes.
You know, and they request her at events, and you know, thank God now, not only did the catering company give her a purpose in a sense, you know, of going on, but also, you know, she's doing something that she loves, and now she's become like a local
celebrity.
Yeah.
I love that. And for those of you who don't know, like the brief story of headliners, because Mike kind of told it when he was here. Is he good? Shouts out to Mike. Sending prayers, peace and prayers to Mike, huh?
Yes. Yes. He lost his father today.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, sending all of our prayers to Mike Gardner at the passing of his father, and to my dearest friend Antoinette Williams, to the passing of her brother today as well. And the first time that Mike was on the show, he told the story about sleeping in the barbershop. And a lot of people don't know that Moose Sadiq and Headliners was in Coconut Grove, and then you did a House of Wings in Coconut Grove. And then Mike, in short form, he was, you know, playing basketball, and then he was making a transition, and in that transition, you know, things fall apart. And so Moose Sadiq kind of, you know, sheltered him and gave him a place to be. And then when he kind of locked in on the parties, you all kind of rallied around. It's about five of you kind of rallied around and supported that growth. And then that growth led to the growth for everything else. It's like you had the root of the tree with Moose Sadiq, and then all of these beautiful branches have come out of working together as a unit. You want to share, and you know, that's like one of my favorite stories, is that it's just proof that, you know, if you work together as a unit, that you really can, you can succeed. Everybody at the table can eat, you know, and everybody can pay the check.
I mean, you know, that's what it was, because
move the mic over to him.
You know, Mike is just a good brother.
Yeah.
You know, and hasn't been, you know, tainted, as to say. And he was fortunate and blessed with talent and skill to able to go to UM on a scholarship and then go to another school. But like most schools, didn't necessarily prepare him for the real world if this basketball career didn't take off. I went to Sidewalk U, so I always had to get it. And so what I had to do was, when his hoop dreams were shattered, you know, my idea was for him, or for us, for Headliners, to go and be like Paul Mitchell and open up a barbershop in every neighborhood, but cater to us.
Yeah.
So Mike had a marketing degree. So I said, man, cuz, you have a marketing degree. I have all the celebrities coming in, whether it's Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, Lonzo Mourning. All of them came to my shop. Denzel Washington. I cut all their hair. So I would see these people on a regular.
Right.
So I say, listen, you take that fine education and you go market what we do. And so, and he used to party a lot. I said, no, let's turn it into some money.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the creation and the start of Headliner Market Group, because he does have a marketing degree.
Yeah.
And that he knew how to market. He knew the science of marketing.
Right. Yeah,
because it started.
Right. And you don't, this level of success doesn't just happen, you know, with a box of flyers.
No. Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard work, dedication, yeah. discipline, desire, and determination.
Yeah.
You know, especially in this market. Because yeah. Miami will chew you out and spit you back out.
What?
And don't care nothing about you.
Yeah.
But I think he had me always in his ear and just wanted to be successful.
Yeah.
So he had to go.
Because
people don't know, I remember the first party we did. I think we lost about 70,000.
Probably. Yeah.
We did three events. We lost every dime.
Yeah.
You know, so when people see us now, they're like, whoa, man, I didn't know, you know, yeah, y'all are live. I didn't know y'all owned Prohibition in Midtown.
Right.
I didn't know y'all was House of Wings. I didn't know, yeah, you didn't know that because we was grinding.
Yeah.
You know, we were grinding.
Yeah.
And we was owning. You know, that's my big thing. Owning.
Right. Yes. Well, you know, and not being on the gram with money to your ear. it's a whole nother. I mean, that's one of the things that I really admire about headliners is that they, you know, they walk softly and carry really, really big sticks. And besides the fact, I sent you a picture once of my great grandfather. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, I mean, you just embody the spirit.
Yeah.
And you look like him a lot. And my great grandfather, he owned churches, gas stations, mm-hmm. and he ran numbers.
That's right.
That's right. In Detroit. That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's how you rent it.
That's right.
And
that's how you rent it.
Yeah.
Come on.
So, you know what? When I met Musadiq, it was just so much of that energy. And that's what I grew up with. I grew up with men like that. I grew up with Uncle Hank, who used to come bring the money on Thursday.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Grew up with Uncle Hoochie, you know, who had my great grandmother's brother had a troupe of drag queens in the 40s and 50s.
No.
That used to go around. Little Richard actually was one of them. It's the greatest story in the world. But he couldn't stand up in the shoes. So they would have to take him out on stage and just, like, stand him there and then go back and get him. And then he was like, I can't do this. Forget it. And then, like, several years later, he started playing the piano and, right. you know, Little Richard was born. But I come from, you know, that stock of, you know, you eat what you kill. And that's really about it.
And to that end, and I'm glad, this is the first time I'm meeting this sister over here.
Because she eats what she kills, for real.
You know, it's funny because people think they're looking at Overtown now.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize it was in 2007 when I first signed my lease to go Overtown.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I started buying property in Liberty City because that's my next move.
Right.
In our community.
Yeah.
Miami ain't going to mean nothing if Liberty City, Overtown, don't stand up.
Right.
Listen, Little Haiti is Little Haiti.
Yeah.
They are strong.
Man.
You understand me? But if Liberty City and Overtown, if we don't go in there, stake our claim, prop up our businesses, mm-hmm. and take over our block by block, yeah, you know what? It may be Little Havana.
May?
Mm.
So what was it, Ernisha, that sparked you and you have a group of friends mm-hmm. that to start the group, to start buying in Liberty City? Was it the same?
Well, yeah, we started looking, you know, at that time, the conversation about gentrification was like everywhere. Everybody's mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, they're taking over this community and they're taking over. And then at that time it was, you know, Little Haiti was in the conversation. And I'm like, listen, I'm not one to continue to complain about something with no action.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not in me. Everybody in my family, we're fighters.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know, what can we do? So I sat down with a couple of my girlfriends from the Young Professionals Network, and I'm like, listen, we can't be a part of this organization and say that we're here for young professionals. We're hearing the argument about opportunity. We're hearing the conversations about the lack of affordable housing and, you know, so many different conversations. What is the one thing that we can do to assist with being a solution to these problems. And, you know, we like, listen, how about we invest? And where can we invest? Where is it not sky high in Miami right now? And of course, at that time, it was Liberty City. So for us, it was just perfect because, you know, number one, we got to do something. No, we're not going to have a place in South Florida anymore. And by the time our kids graduate from college, they really won't have anywhere to come back and call home.
Yeah.
We won't have any black communities left. So that's what made us decide to go ahead and start investing within the community.
So as a group, you buy properties. How many do you have now? How many? What did you start with and how many do you have now?
Right. So we've sold one and it's in the Brown Subs area.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have two properties, possibly three, because one of the properties, it has a vacant lot right next to it. So we're more than likely going to turn that or build on that lot as well. And I mean, honestly, when we first started with the idea was for us to move into the community also. A couple of us have already moved into the Liberty City area, and the rest of us are still looking for properties. We wanted to be in one concentrated area, possibly in one block, you know, to create that
awesome
sense of community. So we're still working on that. Initially, you know, with our big hopes and dreams, we're like, we're going to go and find a block. We're going to buy the whole block. We're going to get all the other young professionals to move in, but it didn't quite work that way yet. So we're still working on that.
Yeah, but you started the action. So that must warm your heart, Keon.
It makes me feel good because I like to see young people come back to our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You know, I bought my house down the street from my grandmother's house.
That's awesome.
You know, so I used to walk from my grandmother's house to Charles Haley Park. I passed by this house every day, and I noticed it. And now, you know, my 9-month-old daughter will be raised there.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just an awesome feeling. Proper home ownership, man. Yeah. Having your own.
Yeah.
When nobody tells you your rent is going up. And in 10, 15 years, your net worth is worth more.
And I think that I have Daniela Pierre coming in. I guess in a couple of weeks. And we're talking about, you know, affordable housing and home ownership and, you know, the path too. And I reached out to Sonia Hickman today, who's a realtor, a sister that does a lot in the community, to start having that conversation here about, because there are a lot of us that rent that are like, just don't see the vision for themselves of ownership. And to get them from, they've, you know, worked a job all their life. They never really had that aspiration or anybody in their family who they even think they can model. So, you know, how do you get those people to dream bigger, see bigger for themselves and their children when this is, you know, kind of all they're known? We're going to talk about that on the other side. I'm going to introduce you to a good brother that was here 2 weeks ago, Richard from the Urban Miami, who is documenting all of this goodness going on. Stay tuned. We'll be back. I am Jill Tracy. This is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Hot 105. Just got hotter. Featuring the new Hot 105 lineup of icon superstars and legends.
Starting at 6 a.m.
The new GJMS.
Love, I'm joining the morning show.
On Hot 105.
And at 9 a.m., get your work on with 50 minutes of today's R&B and old school.
And James T.
Thanking you for the love, South Florida.
At 12 noon, the party starts with Rick Party in the afternoon with Benji Brown.
Hey, what's up, party people? The party don't stop.
At 3 p.m., it's time to shut the city down.
What's up, family? Yes, I'm bringing my main man with me, George Wilborn, the stress reliever. And a lady who needs no introduction to South Florida airwaves, Miss Tamara G's in the building!
With Ground Folks Radio.
Then at 7, it's time to unwind and pour a glass of wine with your boo. 32 years of The Quiet Storm with Freddie Cruz, the legend, the voice,
the institution.
Hello, South Florida. This is Freddie Cruz inside The Quiet Storm.
Famous for our music, famous for our people. We're Hot 105.
Today's R&B and Old School.
Miami, Saturday, July 15th. The 4th Annual Overtown Music and Arts Festival with live performances by CeeLo Green, Keisha Cole, RL of Next, Ruffin, Inner Circle, Tito Fuentes Jr. as special guest host Monica.
Just right for me.
In the heart of historical Overtown Business District, Northwest 3rd Avenue, between the blocks of 8th and 11th Streets.
Everyone.
With live music, arts, crafts, food, and entertainment. An interactive youth zone for kids. Saturday, July 15th, the Overtown Music and Arts Festival. With CeeLo Green, Keisha Cole, Monica, Inner Circle, and more.
Free admission for everyone.
11 a.m. to 7 p.m. For more information regarding vendors and arts exhibits, 786-529-4586. Log on to OvertownMusicAndArtsFestival.com. Presented by Headliner Market Group, Southeast Overtown Park West, CRA, and Commissioner Keon Hardiman.
One United Bank, America's largest black-owned bank with a branch right here at 3275 Northwest 79th Street in Miami, is here for you. Just visit a branch or go to oneunited.com, open a Unity Savings account for just $100, and join the Bank Black movement. One United wants us to move our money and our minds to start doing business with black-owned businesses. Let's harness our $1.2 trillion in spending to build wealth in our community. Visit oneunited.com and join the Bank Black movement.
Loan amounts based on income and other qualification factors. Borrowers often use payday loans over a period of months, which can be expensive. Need cash? If you need cash to get caught up on bills, you can now get up to $500 cash right here in Florida. Just dial *500 on your mobile phone, and we will text you a link to our store closest to you. That's right. Dial *500 and see how fast we can get you the cash you need. If you need cash fast, dial *500. If you need cash to help pay your bills or cover an emergency purchase, dial *500 now. That's *500. You can pick up your cash at a store near you or complete online. Just dial *500. The check cashing store is now the fast and easy way to get cash when you need it. For quick cash now to pay bills, dial *500 on your mobile phone so you can get your cash fast from online or one of the check cashing stores near you. To get cash fast, dial *500. *500.
Tom Jonas in the morning.
Florida man who hid his dead wife's body in a freezer.
I had nothing to do with it.
For 8 years. 8 years.
He forgot.
He did it to collect benefits.
They've been keeping the check a whole year.
Girl, just give me like 6 more months.
We're back Monday from 6 to 9 a.m. on Hot 105. Today's R&B and Old School.
Hot 105.
She's burning down the house. It's Hot Talk with Jill Tracy right here on Hot 105. And now the soulful sounds of Janae Kett.
You can reach me with your mind. You can reach me by caravan. Cross the desert like an airman. I don't care how you get here, just get here if you can. You can reach me by sailboat. Climb a tree and swing a rope to rope. Take a sled and slide down slope into these arms of mine. You can jump on a speedy colt. Cross the border in a blaze of hope. I don't care how you get here, just get here if you can. There are hills and mountains between us. Always something to get over. If I had my way, surely you'd be closer. I need you closer. but you better make it soon. You can reach me by caravan, cross the desert like an airman. I don't care how you get here, just don't care how you get here. Just get here. You can. Join
Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
Woo! Yes, Miss Sinead. Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh, Lita was like, yes, honey, yes. So now you are at the cabaret. Now, you're at the cabaret, like, seven days a week.
Actually, we're open for 4 days. I'm the first person ever hired for the place.
Awesome. Okay, so we can come check you out anytime.
And you should.
Cabaret at the Shellboard. It is such a beautiful little room. It's a small, when I say it's a little room, it is a little room.
It's very intimate. It's small. But
intimate, there you go.
Yes, darling. We dim the lights at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We get all sexy. We put candles on the table, and we take requests.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
We will bring you your drinks while singing a song. We will bring you food while singing a song.
Okay.
And we pick up everything, treat us like the children you had just to change the channel.
I know, that's right. So wait a minute. So how many can you get in there?
I'm sorry?
How many can you fit in there? How many can you fit?
How many people?
Yes.
Honestly, on the tables, we have 24 tables. We have like 5 couches, and there's always space in the lobby. Stand up, do what you want to do. Most people, if they don't want to deal with being directly in the line of fire of the music, or shall I say, in the middle of the party, they go to the opposite end of the lobby. We actually take over the entire lobby.
Oh, okay, there we go. Then Alex can come do something.
Yes.
Because Alex, right there, right in front of you, from Social Exchange. Yeah, just, you know, her parties tend to go 500 and over, so.
Well, definitely you should come by. And
yeah, I would love for you to go, like, check out the spot.
I say everybody should come by and have a white mule. That's my favorite drink we got on the menu.
White mule?
White mule.
Okay, you know I love a cocktail. Welcome back, 888-550-9105. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you miss any part of the show tonight, you know you can always go to the Hot 105 website and check out the podcast. And you can also download the app for Android and iPhone. And right there, you'll see Hot Talk with Jill Tracy, and you can listen to any of the shows that you may have missed. We are back talking about the Overtown Music Festival, reshaping Overtown, and really constructing a new social, culture in Miami. It has shifted. Keon, you were never like a club person, so I really can't, you know, we can't have that conversation with you. But Moussa Deek and Nikki, and I, and maybe a few others in the room. No, okay. That, you know, the nightclub, the social, that African-American social scene has shifted dramatically since the late 90s to where we are right now. And some of the provocateurs of this new crop of social... the social scene in South Florida are here with me tonight. Always, always welcome to have her on the show, Miss Alexis from the Social Exchange. How are you, doll? And so bright and bushy.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, and you?
After De La Soul last night.
Yes, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Listen, I just love to watch the Instagrams from De La Soul.
And that was a request to kind of start to do live feeds so people can see what they're missing. So.
Yeah, because, yeah. It gets really, after a certain hour, it gets real special.
Yeah.
Up in there. You're on the rooftop of 11.
Yes.
And so you're there every month.
Yes.
Okay, but other than that, you do other events throughout
Yes, other than that, we do different pop-up events. This Friday, actually, we're doing a bar crawl with Jack Fire.
Okay, there you go. Shout out to Jack.
Yes, and we're also restarting our brunch, our whiskey brunch, which we're doing at our house in Wynwood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the first events, I went to of yours was the Silent Revolution.
Yes, at the Gale Hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a test run for the Silent Revolution. We've done some very instrumental and experimental events with them. We've done things over in Curacao. We just got back. But we also done a party on the People Mover in downtown Miami.
I know, but that one was so cool.
Yeah,
that you all just, everybody's got on the People Mover with the Silent Revolution headphones, and they had a party on the People Mover.
Yeah.
Like...
Yes.
And so, right.
Yeah.
So you all have done, you've done stuff, well, sort of, kind of together.
Yeah, it was on the trolley. It was like a, just kind of experience. People would the headphones, so yeah.
Awesome.
It's a wonderful black tech company that owns it here locally. He does events all over on the city, but he's great to work with, yeah. Butler.
So, native to Miami.
Yes.
And, you know, just kind of got into, like, how did you become, you know, the diva of the night?
Yes, I'm a Miami native. I grew up in South Dade. My mom was from Richmond Heights, but I grew up in Cutler Bay. Cutler Ridge when I was there, but now it's Cutler Bay.
Yeah.
I went to Hampton University for undergrad, and when I got back, I just kind of felt like a stranger in my own home.
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking for your young, recent college grads, your young professionals, young black professionals, you know, people were like, they're not here. And I'm like, there has to be more people other than me here. And so on the weekends, I would go to Atlanta. I would go to D.C. I would just travel. I wouldn't really go out of Miami. It just, at the time in 2011, didn't provide a myriad of different things to do.
Yeah.
We started our happy hour in Wynwood, before Wynwood was Wynwood now.
Yeah.
So I think when we started, there was only Wood Tavern, a TSL Lounge, and I think Shots. And so now Wynwood is a monster.
Right? Yeah.
We just created a place every third Friday for young black professionals to come let their hair down, have a good time. You know, South Beach wasn't your thing. This is kind of like a really dope alternative where we can kind of create our community. As of right now, there's starting to be more black-owned venues, but in the meantime, I think the best thing that we can do is curate and create this as a community amongst people of color.
Yeah. Would you consider having a venue? Would you buy a venue?
No, definitely. That's definitely my goal, and I'm really interested in development. My father did single family homes, first time home buyers in Richmond Heights for about 10 years. So that's really my long term goal, is to kind of shift my influence and my funds into development, to kind of do more development around millennials, young professionals, especially in regards to home ownership.
Yeah. I love that. And so, and next to you, Richard with Urban Miami documents this new scene. I told him when we were on the phone earlier today, I feel like I'm kind of like, you know, passing the baton.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for so many years, that's really what I did. And, to some degree. I was really fortunate that Bo Griffin, God bless it, did. Really kind of showed me the way. You know, it's like, this is how you get out here. This is how you make this money. Don't let the promoters tell you X, Y, and Z. And she really showed me the ropes. And I really had an amazing run, when I was your age, in my 20s-ish of it. So it just does my heart. I told Alexis, I go through the Instagram and, you know, I see you all partying and pool parties in places that we did not go. I mean, we're talking about a span of, 15, 20 years. Maybe 10, 15. but I see you all doing things that is the elevation of what we created. So it's beautiful. And so Urban Miami, when did you start it, and how is it growing for you?
It started in 2014. Literally, I was in St. Louis. I had just graduated from BAM. I was in St. Louis working, and I woke up one day and it just hit me, Urban Miami, because I know I was going home.
Okay.
I used to have parties as a kid. Like, we used to have parties at home.
Yeah.
And people were still always calling me like, what's going on at the crib? What's going on? Like, what's happening?
So, yeah.
I'm not a South Beach guy. I'm not a strip club guy. Like, let's kick it. Like, let's go hang out. Let's
right.
go do something together. We can drink. We can party. But, like, good fun.
Yeah.
I also grew up in Miami where it was a lot of murders. It was a lot going on. So our parents didn't want us to just be out in the streets. Like,
right.
so we had to come up with alternatives. So in 2014, kicked it off. It was really my birthday party, but I had the black and white affair.
Okay.
Because I just feel for my age group, we didn't have anywhere where it's like, hey, go get snazzy. Like, go get dressed up. No. You got to go get a blazer for this. Like, you got to go get that cute dress.
Right.
Like, you have to. You
right.
Know? So we kicked it off, and then it was really, I really didn't know what I wanted it to be at the time. But then I met Alexis through a mutual friend. So the happy hours were going, and she was from South Dade, and I'm from the North Dade side. So we combined. I was like, all right, well, I'll tell my people, you tell your people, and we just going to keep going.
Right.
So at that point in time, Urban Miami just really just formed into the database of events targeted towards our black community here. So whether it was Social Exchange, whether it was Ingrid, who was most consistent, that's how I met La Vie. Because
Ingrid B.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Just consistent.
Shouts out to my sister.
Live Alive Social Group with
Shouts
Beyond
out.
Brunch Sundays. It was just connecting all these good people because I personally believe if we don't bump elbows, if we're not connecting together face to face, we can't grow together.
Right.
Like, we always like, hey, support black owned, let's grow together. We got to hang out. Like,
yeah.
We got to come around. We got to look at each other in each other's face. We got to grow that respect for each other so we can grow together. So,
yeah.
Arnisha, I saw her as a kid because I went to school with her brother and her sister. But now, through Urban Miami and just finding her and her events and different people, like, we've been able to grow to another level. So that's how I got started.
I love that. Okay, this phone has been blowing up, and I have not answered it, so I'm going to answer. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. Who's this?
Okay. This is Brother Albert.
Hello, Brother Albert. How are you tonight?
I'm fine with the help of God and yourself.
Thank you, sir. Do you have a question?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say something to my wonderful family. That I always like to use the word family because the message always told us about our unity, and that's going to be what we need to do. Come together, love one another, respect one another, and go the way we supposed to go like it used to be. Brother Hardman, my brother from James Scott Project, I grew up there also. 2175 Northwest 70th Street, right across from that drive-in theater.
There it is.
And I never wanted to move from that place. Because when you come from old town where I used to live and go out there, it's still a little different. Like the brother was saying about the counters and stuff like that, the tile flow. We come from a town where you can see the ground from that little hole in the floor.
Yeah.
So that was a big difference. And so, you know, you said something, the key that you said is that never think that the people that come around us don't know us. They got a knowledge of us and our condition, and we don't know them.
Right.
That's the problem.
That's right.
And that is very, very key. Because the message said get a knowledge of God, self, and others. And see what we can do for self. And that's the key. And they made sure that they keep us ignorant of ourselves and them, keep us full of fear. And they say, keep us godless, fatherless, and jobless. And that way they can control us. And they said also this, reverse the role of the men. You know that Bible power where they say, kill the men, let the women live? They said, in reference to that, make sure that our women, our sisters, and daughters take the place of the men, brothers, and sons. And that is what is being worked on us, but we're not aware of it. Because, see, we are loving people, and we don't study war. When people come up, there's no foreigner that comes in our community to open up a store or a business. They have a knowledge of our mindset and what we've been through and what we're going through and how they can come in and continue to manipulate us and take advantage of us. We have to unite, love one another, keep that family feeling like we grew up in the project. We were united, but I find out something. When we are all together and everyone lives in a certain place and they have the same nature, the same people, there's more peace. You can feel it as much as you walk. I was invited out of town this July 4th. And I was in a town, and man, let me tell you something. You can walk around there, and that's one of the houses, that's one of the communities where the people are so loving and united together, you ain't never got to lock your door. So y'all keep the good work up. May God bless us all. Stay strong. Let's unite. And keep that talk about the way things used to be. Because we had to move away from one another. And we didn't have knowledge of what was going on around us. But now we're waking up. And we're going to unite. May Allah bless us all. Stay strong. And then we are a family. And people, when we say that, people, we're not talking about hate. Y'all know what happened to us? We was totally divided. Women's soul, mother's soul, father's soul, counselor's soul, elder's soul. Everybody knows how to say 1, 2, 3 ABC was killed off. And here's the key. So yeah, let me say this, please, ma'am.
Yes, because you had a nice exit there, but you kept going. Okay, you got 30 seconds.
Okay. They said, let's make man in our image. Our image. Create man. Okay, listen to this. This is the way the white man made us, y'all. Because do we speak our language? No, we speak European language. We are in their image. Are we named African names? No. We got European names. We'll leave it right there. We have been created in their image. Now we got to become ourselves as a nothing to say. Peace upon us all. May God bless us. Thank you very much, Brother Gio. And the whole family is there.
Thank you. I know he meant to say, Sister Cheryl. Thank you, Brother Albert.
I couldn't hear Brother Albert, but when we talk about unity, I mean, that is so key. And I want to go back into...
You turn the mic around. Can you hear you? There you go.
I want to go back into one of the other things that I think a lot of us are missing when it comes to our neighborhoods. If we fail to recognize the importance of buying in our neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
then we're not going to be able to choose the people that represent us. It looked like us.
Wow.
So therefore, if you don't own in your neighborhood, so that means that somebody else is going to come in. They're going to populate your community that used to be your community,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to vote for people who are going to fight for their ideas.
Right.
That's what people don't understand when they talk about Commissioner Keon Hardeman.
Mm-hmm.
If you got these millenniums right here,
mm-hmm.
this is their time.
Right.
It is
exactly.
their time yeah. to step up and back someone who looks like them, thinks like them, feel like them, and can sympathize and empathize with them to mm-hmm. ensure that everybody else who don't care nothing about their community,
yeah.
they say that young man or that young woman knows what it's like to grow up. So
right.
when we talk about a community, it's more than just, you know, just let's fight over what businesses are coming at. Business,
right.
ownership. Relationships.
Who can use the park this week?
Exactly. we hold on. So that means we gotta vote.
Right.
That means that we gotta lock arms. That means that we need to raise funds.
Right.
That means that we need to campaign.
Exactly.
For someone who looks like us.
Amen. You know what? When I was preparing this show, I was on the phone with Cedric Dawkins like every day, and I was like, you know what? I have been doing a lot of research on Maynard Jackson and Atlanta. And, okay, and Keon. And I'm just saying that it's the same energy. Do you know what I'm saying? And what Maynard Jackson was able to do in Atlanta, to, you know, it's almost the same thing his headliner has done with their group. You know, it's creating, you know, it's like bringing like minds together in respect for themselves, the city, and the people, period. And because they did that with, you know, an honest heart and the Bible on this hand and the laws on this hand, to this day, Atlanta is the city that it is, and African Americans, you know, making money, getting contracts are over. He went took minority business from 1% to 35%. Okay, so and nobody can do that for us but us.
That's right. They've made it more challenging to have a black agenda, if you
right.
will.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, we've done different things. For instance, when we want more participation from black communities, then we require certain zip codes instead
right.
of saying black, because you,
right.
they limit us in our ability to say black. And so, you know, you use zip codes, but the zip codes, the population of the zip codes are changing.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes it very difficult for us to kind of get that representation. But I want you to really understand, when you think about Atlanta, he was told the same thing I'm told every day, which is, no.
That's what
there are
said.
No black
it's,
people that can build
a
stadium. Yeah. There are no black people that can build an airport.
Yeah.
And so you have to break these things down. Okay. Well, no, I may not know a black company that can build a stadium, but I know a black guy that can lay asphalt.
That's right.
I know a black guy that can make a fence.
Right.
Right? I know gardeners. I know architects. I know all these engineers and all these different people. Because what happens is they want you to think about these projects as, yeah, okay, it took $500 million to produce this product.
Mm-hmm.
But the company that wins the contract, they don't build all those things themselves.
Right.
They subcontract and it breaks
down.
To their friends. So when you see the list of people who become millionaires from these projects, it is long.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And the problem is that it's not a lot of us in it.
Don't look like
and
us.
So you have to pay attention to what's going on. You can't look at something and say, there's nothing there for me.
Right.
See, that's the real kickback with Liberty Square. That's why a lot of people are mad about that right now.
Well, Wait for it.
One, personally, I don't think that it should be torn down. It should be renovated. Like in other places, like Savannah, Georgia, they have 1939 built project that was 2 years. In Miami, was the first.
Right.
That was the second.
Ever.
And they renovated it, and it's still a place where you can still live. But in our communities, they destroy our history.
Well, you know, that's that whole repeal and replace.
And then tell us that, you can get 5% of the ownership in it.
Right.
And that's not right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We can have much more ownership, but we have to have much more representation to push that envelope.
Yeah.
And the problem is that we have leaders who feel trapped because they don't feel like if they push this envelope, they're going to be touched.
Right.
You know, and people say, well, what does touch look like? Well, Michelle Spence Jones, touched. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Teal,
touched.
Miller Dawkins.
Touched,
right?
Yeah.
So the thing is this: it's people as young people, we look at the position that I sit in, and you say, "Oh man, it would be great to do that." But let me tell you, it's a scary and lonely place to be a D5 commissioner.
Oh well, listen.
So that's why I say I'm gonna get as much of this stuff done for y'all folk as I can before I get touched. But you come to learn to expect that someone's going to say something and do something and accuse you of doing
wrong.
And
think about that.
You're doing it right.
Think about that. You know what I'm saying? And that's in that space. In all of the great things that you've been able to do, you know, just right. Listen, that side eye is like they come. It's a playbook, and they coming for you. Yep. Yeah, you know that at all times. But see, here's the trick bag. And that'll lead us into our next show because I want to talk about that because it is a playbook and a lot of our politicians fall into the same problem every time. And I think of great cities when I think of Coleman Young from Detroit and then Kwame fell into the same hole. It always happens and they have a playbook. And I already see it unfolding as we get close to 18. So that's something that we need to kind of come back. So the people start to, you know, to see the signs. You can start to, you'll hear it in the language. You'll hear the dog whistles. You'll start seeing the kind of things, the kind of stories planted. And all of a sudden, all these things start popping up out of nowhere. And you're like, oh, my God, that's not right. No, it is a system. It happens every time. And, yeah.
And they'll use our people to do it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So for instance, when we talk about, for instance, like Overtown, right? The Miami Herald wrote that we gave the contract to an unqualified developer.
Right?
Right. I dare any of you to go and look at this man's work.
Mm-hmm.
It is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Bar none. You can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what the media did was try to make him into an unqualified developer. The problem is that this is the largest development grant, $15 million, will probably end up about $18 million, that has ever been given to a single developer. Not the subcontractor. He's the man.
Right.
Right? And so we're redeveloping our own neighborhood. And he won a bid for that. It's not as if he just gave it to him because he was black.
Right. And, you know, and the greater picture of that is for whatever one small discretion. And so, you know, and that's why I say that there are good things about Donald Trump, because now we have a comparative because you see all of the, any one of those things would have knocked the most stellar black politician just straight out the game for the rest of his life.
Different
right?
rules.
It's completely different,
different rules.
And now it's very, very transparent that you can see it. So, I'm looking forward to moving into 2018. We are at the end, but Cedric, I did want to mention, Cedric Dawkins is PR for the Josephine Dunn Hotel, which will be opening. Come to the mic, Ced. So when are you all opening in Overtown?
The original opening date was September 22nd, but it'll probably be, you know, a little beyond that. But it's going to be a 15-room hotel. It's themed after the Harlem Renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
All the rooms will be named after a different Harlem Renaissance icon. Like, for instance, they're going to have the Moms Mabley room, the Cab Calloway room, the Zola Neale Hurston room, the Billie Holiday room, things of that
nature. The Josephine Baker room.
Yes, the Josephine Baker room as well. So we're very excited and looking forward to that. And Jackson Soul Food will...
I was going
to
say, and your other client, Jackson Soul Food.
Yes, they will be catering the breakfast for the guests, because I have complimentary breakfast with each stay.
You buried the lead. They just opened at Hard Rock.
Jackson Soul Food just opened at Hard Rock Stadium Friday night.
Friday.
At the Metallica concert.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say. That's bad.
They had a very good crowd.
Yeah.
Even the manager of Metallica came to the booth and got some food because he had heard about them and that they were there. So, hello.
Okay. And see, this is what people failed to remember. We've been feeding them forever. We've been feeding them. We've been feeding ourselves forever. So if nothing, you know, whenever, and I said this last week, you know, wherever you go in the world, Musadiq, you want to know the finest hotel and where I can get the best food.
That's right.
And that's it.
That's right.
You know?
The hotel that he's speaking of, that's another project that the CRA invested in. We put about close to $1 million to make this
reality.
And this is right on 3rd Avenue. So, and it's important because we understand that's what the Overtime Music and Arts Festival is all about, bringing energy back to 3rd Avenue. So I know that Nikki wants to say exactly the artist that
Nikki is giving me both evil eyes. Not one.
Because I think we just want to show out and show support in Overtown.
Yes.
And I mean, when people give us that negative narrative, I mean, let's 20,000 people coming over town this week. Let's have a good time, because we have never had not one incident.
Ever. Every time
ever.
I mention it, there's never one.
So this week, CeeLo Green, Keisha Cole, Monica, Inner Circle, Little Young Lyric,
RL
from Next.
Rough Ends.
I mean, this week, Overtown is coming alive again.
Now, you changed the stage a little bit this year, and there's a trolley route.
There's a trolley route, and what we're trying to do is give it that festival feel, so we're putting it, like, in a grassy field, so people can bring lawn chairs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they can bring lawn chairs, if the weather permits, and sit out and be able to enjoy it.
But you know what? It's a couple of years we got in rain down, but people stay right there.
Exactly. My mayor will try to do that to us again. You remember when it rained out, they showed a picture that it was basically, it literally said it rained on their parade.
Right.
But everyone who was there, when we put out that the true image of what was going on, you saw thousands of people with umbrellas watching the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out to YD for being on stage when it started to rain, and he kept it going. But yes, we'll have the trolley route. It'll be as far north as 29th Street, as far south as 9th Street. It'll grow northbound on North Miami Avenue, southbound on 3rd Avenue. So this is somewhere where you can park in the Wynwood community and take the trolley right over to what we're doing over here in Overtown.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
And Sweet Butter, it's Friday.
Yes,
I'm looking forward to it.
Returning.
So you're at OPAC again?
Yes.
We didn't even get to talk about OPAC. I mean, that is just, I've always, did you know that you wanted to do like restaurant pop-ups in there with that amazing kitchen? That's an amazing kitchen in the OPAC Center.
Really is.
Yeah.
So what we want to do in the OPAC, and what I'm pushing for, is I'm trying to train the residents of Overtown to be able to service restaurants and hotels so they can populate these hotels out here on Miami Beach. Because it's a shame you come to Miami and you don't see anyone like us that have an opportunity to really have substantive jobs and jobs that can provide for people that can get college, send their kids to college and things like that. We just don't have it, but this is our neighborhood.
So that's
the place for that. And to showcase not only that place, but also her business, I invited her to come to the OPAC.
I'm so excited about that. Because, you know, when I got here, that was during the That was the Mandela boycott, and that was the H.T. Smith, you know, I'm coming to kiss the ring, because I really want you to come on Hot Talk and tell that story. But that's the whole, that FIU hospitality program, mm-hmm. yes, mm-hmm. that was an outgrowth of the Miami boycott, but we are not, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same story.
So,
and yeah. I'm glad the commissioner just mentioned that, you know, he was the one that invited me to OPEC. A lot of people don't know that story, but when Sweet Butter was, when we first began, you know, to talk about Sweet Butter and where we would find a home, the commissioner did agree to allow us, and he's the one that I'd say he invested into
What's
Sweet
his
Butter.
Name?
The commissioner, the What's chairman, Keon Hardeman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I just had to be clear about this.
Chairman Keon Hardeman. Okay. He opened up the doors of the community, of our community, mm-hmm. and that is the reason why you see Sweet Butter in Overtown today. That's the reason why you see these pop-ups. It was actually, yeah. the idea was created right there in
Young
his office.
Bull.
That's awesome. I love it. Okay, I'm so far over. I feel like Don Lemon.
So, we'll see y'all next Saturday in Overtown.
Yes, indeed. Saturday. Friday. We'll see Friday. No, Thursday.
No.
For the film.
No, Friday
is the film. Okay,
Friday
and then
morning.
Friday morning is the film.
And the Youth Summit.
And the Youth Summit.
Butter,
Sweet Butter is Friday night.
Saturday
is
Overtown Music and Arts
Festival.
Saturday.
We will see you
Saturday
in the building.
Sweet Butter again.
You're a Sweet Butter. Saturday night, too.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
Double
okay.
dose.
Beautiful.
Overtown is popping.
I'm telling you, Richard will be there to document it all.
Yeah, if you're looking for it, just follow the Urban Miami. We got it all. Overtown okay. Music Festival, Sweet Butter. Let's go.
UrbanMiami.com or just Urban Miami on Instagram?
You can go to our website, theurbanmiami.com, and on Instagram, TheUrbanMiami.
Okay, and Alexis, as always, love you, mean it. We'll be back. Listen, I need you and Richard and Kiara and Kiana.
Yeah.
At home, sleep someplace. I want to do that whole just millennial thing. So, all right. Thank you, Keon, Nikki,
yes.
Musadiq.
Yes.
Novell John. Where's Novell Allen? Where'd he go? Novell, thank you very much. You're going to take us out. Mark, I'm so late, but you're going to take us out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now?
Thank you. Yep.
Ready? Let's go.
Love you, mean it.
Let's go.
Always local, always entertaining, and educating South Florida. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week.